Thank You, Brother Bob. What a great old song. Now, a song does not have to be old to be a great song and a song that's blessed and used of God. In our song book, there's many relatively new songs. Songs that I started to say that had come about in my lifetime, but you'd say they're still old songs. So I'm going to skip that. But anyway, there's some great new songs in our song book and are available in other places. But that song is old, old, old. And all the memories as Brother Bob was singing it. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard my mama standing washing dishes or washing clothes or sweeping the floor singing that old song. And I could hear her as Brother Bob was singing. I don't say that he reminds me of my mama, but I thank God. I thank God for the memories of that sweet lady and that song. Open your Bible to Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I guess you have figured out now that Brother Todd and I are sharing preaching responsibility. A co-pastor ought to do that, shouldn't he? Amen. He needs to be able to begin to build sermons and preach, and you need to get acquainted with him and learn him and love him and follow him. And so, but I still get to preach every now and then, and we'll share the preaching responsibility unless I'm gone, and I'm going to be gone quite a bit this year for a particular reason, so he can get his feet firmly entranced without the shadow of preacher being around all the time. And so when you call the office and say, could I talk to preacher? You probably get him. And don't be surprised. And you need to learn to do that. Then Matthew chapter 4. Begin to read with me in verse number 1. After we read this, we'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and read one verse. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I preached from this passage Friday in college chapel, so don't think that I'm preaching the same sermon. It would still be new to some of y'all because you didn't hear it then. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Notice that statement, to be tempted of the devil. Who was being tempted of the devil? Jesus. Who is Jesus? God. So Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate in human flesh, after having been revealed as the Messiah, the promised one, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world, after God said from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, the next event in his life was he was carried out into the wilderness. By the way, God was led of the Spirit. Is that what it says? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after and hungered. That means he was very hungry. And when the tempter came to him, notice the tempter waited until he was 40 days into fasting in the wilderness. And he comes and his first temptation is with food. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. It is written. not in Reader's Digest, not in TV Guide. It is written. It's talking about the Word of God. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, Cast thyself down, for it is written. Satan's quoting Scripture now. Satan never quotes it correctly, though. He never repeats what God has said properly. He didn't do it to Eve. And he won't do it today. It is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and their hands, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Hey, folks. There are people that don't have the foggiest idea what the Bible says that will say to you, the Bible says, and you don't have enough understanding of the Scripture to know they're lying. The devil will say, it is written. You better know what the Bible says or you'll believe his lie. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and said, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus already knew they were his. He is the King of glory. And the devil offered to give him what God was going to give him. What the devil offered to give him what Jesus had created. You say, well, does the devil own that? The only thing the devil owns is what he's stolen. He doesn't own property. He doesn't have any money. Unless he's stolen it from God's people or God's people have foolishly given it to him. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Get out of my way. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Peter says, Be sober, writing to Christians. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then look at the first part of verse number 9. Whom resist steadfastly in the faith. He did not say resist him with your faith. When the Bible talks about the faith, it's talking about that body of truth that God has given to us in the Word of God. It's talking about that body of truth that Jesus entrusted to the apostles and the apostles to us, to the church. Use the Word of God in resisting the devil. Let me read three more verses and then we'll be seated. You don't have to turn there. Luke 22, verse 31. The Lord said to Simon Peter, And Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. It wasn't just Jesus Satan was after. He's after God's children also. He's after you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul tells us that it is possible for Satan to get an advantage of us if we're ignorant of his devices. Then in Ephesians 4, 27, again, Paul warns us not to give place to the devil. Don't give him a handhold in your life. Don't give him a place to get a hold of you. Don't give him room to tempt you. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. But for goodness sake, don't go to the places where you know you're going to be tempted. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message that as we begin a brand new year, a year in perilous times, a year with financial adversity, a year when we live on the one hand trying to make ends meet for our family and on the other hand wondering when a terrorist is going to show up in our neighborhood or in our building or on our plane. We live in a day when there's so much uncertainty, where Satan is as a roaring lion. He's roaming about. He's moving around. He's looking for prey that he might devour them. Help us to learn tonight so that truly we as your children might be able to steadfastly resist him in the faith. Help me as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our scripture in Matthew 4, the devil comes to tempt the Lord Jesus shortly after his baptism. He tempted Jesus three different times and three different ways. And in the three times and three ways Jesus was tempted, they encompass every way Satan tempts man today. He was tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan doesn't have any new tricks. He goes back and uses the same old tricks with a new design, a new flower, a new arrangement, a new color. But he still uses those three areas because man is naturally weak in these areas. We battle lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, we want. And pride. Those are the areas of our life Satan comes to us and tempts us. If Satan would be so bold to attack and tempt Jesus, let me be sure that you understand he's not afraid of you. You don't scare Satan. If he would come so boldly against Christ, how dare you to think that you're big enough that he's not going to mess with you? Fact is, he's probably already got some plans made for you this year. He's probably already got some blueprints drawn up of traps he's designed to trap you in 2010. Satan's no respecter of persons. He tempted Jesus, he'll tempt me, he'll tempt you. No matter how often you defeat him, he's going to come back again. Because Satan's not a Baptist. He won't give up. He won't quit. He'll come back again. Let me tell you, unlike most of us, the devil's willing to work 7 days a week and never complain about overtime. Jesus warned Simon Peter that the devil wanted him. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And may I say tonight, he wants you too. He wants me too. He's got his crosshairs scoped in on us. He's just looking for the opportunity to spring his trap. And he'll start it with lust. And that lust, when you yield to the temptation, becomes sin. Sin becomes death. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, it's the devil's purpose to get you through this life without Christ and into hell. Understand that. And if you're saved, he wants to hinder your life in Christ. He wants to wreck your life, ruin your life, mess up your marriage, destroy your home, and wreck your family. He wants to rob you of the blessings of God and God of the glory that your life could bring. Don't allow him to get an advantage over you. Don't give him even the least little toehold or finger hold in your life. In James 4, we're told to resist the devil and he'll flee from us. In 1 Peter, we're told to resist him in the faith. We're to steadfastly resist him. That means every day we're to be alert. Every day we're to be on guard. Every day. Yesterday morning, I was thinking about the message for tonight. And I asked myself, if I were the devil, how would I try to get advantage over people? And that's what I want to speak to you about tonight. Here's the title of my message, If I Were the Devil. No comment. Give leeway as a blonde. If I were the devil. Let me say first of all, if I were the devil, I'd try to deceive people about myself. The Bible tells us that Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. The Bible calls him a beast, a dragon, an old serpent, a thief, a hater of God. Now that's the reality of his character. He's that bad and worse. But if I was the devil, I'd do my best to get people to make a joke about me, to think of me as a cartoon character. Paint my pictures with a man in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. I tried to deceive people about myself. And if they did look for me, I'd make sure they was always looking for the monster instead of the angel of light that comes to deceive and destroy. You don't have to worry. Satan's not going to step out behind the door one day as a monster. He's going to come to you as something desirable, something beautiful, something you'd like to have, something that will make your flesh feel good or your pride to be lifted up or to feel like that you have accomplished something. I deceive people as to myself. Be sure he never appears as he really is. The Bible says he's a liar. He comes as an angel of light. And we're deceived. Many people bring him into their lives and into their homes thinking he is so beautiful and desirable. And before they know it, he wakes up. They wake up and he is the monster. That's got them around the throat and about to destroy them, about to wreck their home or steal their children. A lot of the problems we have with teenagers today is not problems from the outside sources of the world. It's problems mamas and daddies have brought into the home. Come on in, Mr. Devil. Yes, I've got three children. There, you're going to have fun with them. You think it's so cute. Oh, let them have their way. Let them enjoy it. It's not going to hurt them. Don't you give them a rattlesnake and say that. Oh, it's just a roaring lion trying to devour them. It's not going to hurt them. His fur's soft. I deceive people about myself as if I was the devil. Because I'd want you to invite me into the home. I'd want you to just welcome me right into the family. I would want you to think that I was so cute and so innocent until I got my hands around the throat of your children, or until I wrecked your marriage or destroyed your life. If I were the devil, I'd deceive people about myself. Secondly, if I were the devil, I'd do my best to convince people that sin was not as bad and destructive as the Bible says. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, the Bible did not say the wages of certain sin is death. It said the wages of sin is death. It's death to your relationship with God. It's death to a marriage relationship. It's death to a family relationship. Sin doesn't build you up or make you stronger or more beautiful or happier or healthier. Sin is a killer. It's a poison. It's a wrecker. It's a stealer of our children and a wrecker of our marriages and stomps out our dreams. Takes away our vision, leaves us empty and broken and penniless, dead. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says, for the way of the transgressor is hard. Sin doesn't make life easier. It makes life harder, more difficult. And the Bible says, be sure, your sin will find you out. Have you ever wondered why all of the sin commercials on television are presented by beautiful women, smiling, or strong, robust athletes? The devil's way of trying to deceive you about sin. Let me tell you, sin is as bad as God said it was, and it's as bad as you think it is, and worse. You can't imagine how bad sin is and how destructive sin is. If I were the devil, I would deceive people. I would try my best to convince people that sin was not bad or destructive. I'd advertise sin as fun and popular. I'd convince people that the bad and ugly things said about sin were just the statements of some loudmouth Baptist fanatical preacher that did not understand. I'd try to convince people that drugs wasn't as bad or hurtful as people in the know say it is. That marijuana is okay. That free love was the right thing. That sexual preferences was put in us by God. I tried to deceive people and convince people that sin wasn't bad and destructive. I would emphasize how important it was to follow Hollywood and not God's Word. I'd emphasize, live, have fun, do it, don't worry. If I were the devil, may I say thirdly, if I were old Satan, I'd encourage people to miss Sunday school and church. You don't need Sunday school. There was a time when England was one of the strongest Christian nations on the earth. The majority of the missionaries that went around the world came from England. Now then, England is one of the most atheistic countries and one of the most Islamic countries of the world. Immorality, ungodliness, secularism, no time for God. And it's the attitude there. If you have a Sunday school, they have it in the afternoon for it's just for children. Now, most of them don't even have a Sunday school because a Sunday school is an American phenomenon. But if I were Satan, I'd try to get people to miss Sunday school and church. Because if I can just get them to miss one time a week, man, I've weakened them by one third. If they miss two times a week, wow. Suddenly you have a great advantage. Satan has a great advantage over you. What about when you come once a month? You ought to make your will out. You ought to get your funeral taken care of. Because Satan's going to get a hold of you. He's going to take advantage of you and your children. The danger of missing God's house and missing the preaching of the Word of God. You're not going to hear this staying home watching TV. You're not going to hear it on those little players that you stick in the ear and it's about that big, what do you call that, MP3s? iPods? Whatever. I don't know what they are. I don't have one. I don't want to run around. I keep trying to get things out of my ears. I don't want to run around with something stuck in them all the time. Besides, with both of them open, I have a hard time hearing now. Someone said that a man speaks 20,000 words a day and a woman speaks 40,000. You know why? Because we men are always saying when they speak, huh? They have to repeat it. Brother Danny, I got to tell you this. Brother Todd and I were here, and he said, who's that older couple back there? I said, oh, it's just Danny and Barbara. Oh, me. I'm sorry, Miss Barbara. You look a lot younger. You look like his daughter. If I were the devil, I'd work hard at trying to encourage people to miss Sunday school. I'd try to teach them, if I were the devil, that skipping church and going fishing was as important as church because it's family time. Hey, can I tell you this? This isn't the devil speaking, this is me. Family time at the lake on church day is not equal to family time in God's house. It never was, it never will be. I mean, that one Sunday you willfully skip church is saying to your children, it's not all that important. God's not all that important. And let me say to you, you don't come to church to worship church. You come to church to worship God. And when you willfully skip out, you're not saying church is unimportant. You're saying God and worshiping Him according to the Bible is unimportant. I'd try my best, if I were the devil, to convince people that their jobs and making money was more important than God or church. Well, I'd work hard at trying to convince them the only time they really need to go to church is Easter and Christmas. If I were the devil. Fourthly, if I were the devil, I'd revise the Bible And I'd tell them that I did it because it's a lot easier for them to read and understand. See, the devil would have a hard time convincing people that the Bible was a lie. I mean, you go into most Baptist churches and you're not going to get very far saying the Bible is a lie. But he's gotten a long way by going into churches saying the Bible is so hard to understand. We need to revise it to make it easier for you to understand. Hey, they can revise the Bible until the Bible only has two words in it that are spiritual, and you're still not going to understand it without the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible is a spiritual book. The reason you don't understand it now is that He's not in charge of your life. For He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that enlightens us. He's the one that reveals the mysteries of God and the hard things of God to us as we study the Word of God. He'd have a hard time convincing the people that the Bible was a lie. So if I were the devil, I'd just tell them that it's too hard to understand, and I'd revise it to make it easier for them. I'd tell the people it needs to be revised so it'd be easier to read. Doesn't have those big old hard words like Gad, Jude. I'm being facetious. Then in the process of changing it, revising it, I do more than replace the old words. If I were the devil, I'd change the text so it would change the doctrinal truth presented. And since it's too hard for you to understand, you would know the difference anyway. You see, if I were the devil, while I was revising the Bible, I would slip out the fact of the virgin birth that God so divinely protects in Scripture. Why, I would say it wasn't a virgin, it was a young lady, young woman. I'd do away with the necessity of Christ's blood to atone for our sins. I'd make the Bible more secular than godly, more politically correct, more gender friendly. If I were the devil. If I were the devil, I'd try my best to get new Christians to put off getting baptized. You say, what's so important about that? It doesn't get you to heaven. No, but it sure helps you to in your walk in obedience to God. The very first thing He asked a Christian to do after that person is saved is to profess Him publicly in believer's baptism. And in so doing, you're publicly, by the act of being baptized, confessing that just as Christ died, He died for your sins. And He was buried and He rose again. And you have new life in Christ Jesus. You're declaring that He is your Savior and your God and your hope. If I were the devil, I'd try to get them to put that off. To start their Christian life disobeying the first thing God asks us to do. It's hard to grow people when they're disobedient to God. It's hard for you to be faithful in step 2, 3, and 4 when you skip step 1 as a Christian. So if I was the devil, I'd do my best to get people to put off getting baptized. If I were the devil, I'd convince teenagers and their parents that the pastor and staff were picking on them. That they didn't understand you. I'd do my best to get teenagers to get their parents to stand with them in opposition against the authority of the pastor and the youth pastor or the music director. They're always picking on me. You ever wonder why? Have you ever had a pimple, a big old zit, and you know it's there, it hurts, you can feel it, and you say, I'm not going to pick at it. I'm not going to pick at it. I'm not going to pick at it. You know what a zit is? It's a bump that says, pick at me, pick at me, pick at me. Do you know there's some teenagers in the youth department that are nothing but big old zits saying, pick at me, pick at me, pick at me. And then they go home and say, that preacher don't understand. And mom will say, well, we'll just have to go and have a talk with that preacher. You grab your kid and come up here and you fuss at the preacher and you destroy any opportunity the man of God or the men of God on staff have to be a help and a blessing to your children. It won't be long till they don't want to go to church. It won't be long until they'll be slipping around behind your back. It won't be long until they'll be lying and cheating and doping and stealing. And you wonder, where did I fail? I'm just telling you what I would do if I were the devil. You say, well, how'd you think of that? Because I've had experience in that area with teenagers and parents. Let me hurry on. If I were the devil, I'd deceive people to the real way of salvation. I wouldn't say, hey, everybody's going to heaven, you don't need to get saved. I'd deceive them as to the Bible way of salvation. You see, we have a problem with pride and self anyway, so I'd try to convince them it's doing good works or being religious or just trying to be good. That what kind of a God would send anybody to hell? A holy God, a just God. A God that sent His Son to die for you to try to keep you out of hell. When a person goes to hell, they go to hell crawling over the roadblocks that God has set up in their life trying to keep them from dying and going to hell. If I were the devil, I'd deceive people as to the real way of salvation. I'd do my best to convince them the Bible way of salvation is too simple and too easy. You got to work for it. You got to earn it. You got to be good enough. I'll be honest with you, if I was the devil and I was in charge of a church, I'd teach them the only way of salvation was through the tithe. If I were the devil. But I'm not the devil, and that's not the way of salvation. Neither is it of good works. Neither is it of keeping the law. Neither is it of turning over a new leaf or getting religious. The only way of salvation is the new birth. You must be born again. And the new birth is the work of God in a sinner's heart when by faith that sinner puts his trust in Jesus, and Jesus alone is his Savior. And lastly, if I were the devil, I would not try to persuade lost sinners that they don't need to be saved. I'd just try to persuade them to put it off one more week. It's not something you have to do today or need to do today. Hell's full of people who believed that lie and said, I'm just going to put it off for a week. I just don't feel like this is the right time. You know when the right time of salvation is? Now. Right now. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the time for the sinner to get saved. There's always going to be some who believe the Bible, thank God. They believe that God, that they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, they believe in Calvary, they believe in the resurrection, they believe in a heaven and a hell, they believe that sinners need to be saved. And I wouldn't try to discourage them in all of that. But I'd just tell them, just put it off today. Wait till next Sunday. Do you know how many people's going to die between this Sunday and next Sunday? Do you know how many people's going to be in church needing to get saved and say not today and will die and go to hell before they ever have another chance? Hell is going to be full of people that said, I'm going to get saved tomorrow, but they died today. I just try to get them to put it off one more Sunday. Just don't do it today. You know, like some of you are doing? Like some of the people listening to my voice, they know they need to be saved. But they're saying, I believe I'll just wait one more day. One more day. Morning, a little lady back here raised her hand that she is unsaved. Touched my heart. I prayed for her, prayed that she'd come. The lady that did join was by her, and it was her niece, I believe, or some relative or friend's daughter, and she even spoke to her to encourage her to come, but she wouldn't. And since Brother Todd was preaching and giving the invitation, I hadn't promised them I wouldn't embarrass them or come to them. So I felt impelled, compelled just to go back and say, dear, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as Savior? I saw you raise your hand and God touched my heart for you. I'll go with you. And she said, came down and accepted Christ. I got home. My wife said, Bob, if you're going to start acting like Carl Hatch, don't look like him coming down the aisle. Folks, there's a multitude of people out there that need Jesus. And the old devil's just trying to get them to put it off one more day. And we need to be wiser than the devil. We need to tell them one more time about Jesus. We need to encourage them, lovingly encourage them. We need to compel them to come, lovingly encourage them. They're no different than me and you. We said no the first time too. I didn't know Just As I Am had 56 verses to it. But I think that's what that old preacher sang that morning or that night I got saved. He just kept singing and kept looking. He said, We're going to sing one more verse because there's somebody back there that said, if they sing one more verse, I'll go. And so help me goodness, I said, all right, Lord, if they sing one more verse, I'll know you're waiting on me. They sang that one more verse and I came. Thank God that He cared enough to compel and pull and encourage me to come. That's what we need to do. We need to do. You don't have to grab them by the arm and drag them down. Many times, just a word. You need to be saved. I want you to know God loves you. I'll go with you if you'd like to go. 9 times out of 10, that's all you have to say. Because the Holy Spirit's already working on the heart. Hey, it wasn't Brother Todd that made her raise her hand. It was the Holy Spirit loving her and wooing her and convicting her and drawing her. She just needed someone to say, I'll go with you. Why don't you determine to be that someone? The devil's saying, not today. Put it off. And unless somebody who loves God and loves souls and believes the Bible intervenes for them, they'll put it off another week and may never have another opportunity to be saved. Well, the fact is, Satan is doing exactly those things I've mentioned tonight. And he's doing more. I'm glad to tell you I'm not the devil. But I want you to know he's real. And he's at work. And his purpose is to get you and to wreck you and destroy you this year. I challenge you, as the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart, don't say, not today. Hit the altar. Do business with God. You say, what do I do? Confess the fault, confess the sin, confess the weakness, confess the temptation, confess the lust. Ask for His strength. Ask for His power. Ask for His leadership. Ask Him to help you to grow stronger and to be victorious in your life for Jesus Christ. Don't just sit out there and do nothing. The invitation is not just for the lost sinner. It's an opportunity for you and me to do business with God so we can make it through tomorrow and next week. The devil's real. And he's working. And I'm afraid we give more access to him many times than we do to the Holy Spirit of God. We respond more favorably to Him than we do to God. Someone said God's not calling people to preach anymore. That's not true. He's calling bukus of people to preach. We're just not answering. Many are called, few are chosen. You say, who are the chosen? Those who answer the call and yield their life to God. I want you to know He's calling a lot more people in Trinity Baptist Church to serve Him than are making their way to the altar and yielding their life to Him as their servant. You do believe Satan's real, don't you? You do believe he's out to get you, don't you? You do believe you can't withstand him by yourself. Then what are you holding back or pulling back? You ought to be running to Jesus. You ought to be getting as close to Him as you can. You ought to try to get as right with God as you know how to get right with God. You ought to determine, I'm going to be around the right people and in the right place so that I do not give Him a place for advantage in my life. Father, that's our message tonight. God, help us to wake up and realize just as Satan tempted Jesus, he's coming after us. Most of us don't have scripture we can quote. Most of us don't have the strength that Christ had. We could have the same Holy Spirit and the same Word of God that has the same effect when used against Satan. Speak to our hearts, dear God. And in this invitation, let us take a look at ourselves to see if we've given place to the devil, if we've fallen into some of his traps and given him advantage in our life. Help us to do what we need to do to draw near to God so that we can live victoriously in this present evil world. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet. And as we begin to sing, would you come tonight? Would you do as God asks you to do for him?
Jesus, keep me.
Would you come?
Near the precious
fountain,
free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross.
You're here tonight and you